This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is always the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North for the week of July the 18th, 2016, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm John Wild.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode 208 of TVA, the podcast. Well, in the words, I believe, of Nickelback, it's been a while.
Definitely. Yeah. I think so.
In the words of Canada's worst nightmare export, it's been a while.
I don't know, maybe it's the words of Nickelback. Okay.
Maybe it was Tesla or maybe REO Speedwagon.
Trust me, it wasn't Tesla, because then I would have recognized it. Yes, that was my experience in Toronto a couple of nights ago. I saw the Tesla REO Speedwagon Def Leppard show.
Incredible.
Well, yes. You know what? Here's the thing. The first album I ever bought with my own money as a kid, it was High Infidelity by REO Speedwagon. So sure. I like REO Speedwagon. And so they were okay. Def Leppard was just... I don't know what I was expecting out of Def Leppard. I think I was expecting to hear live versions of their tracks, and instead they played me the studio versions of their tracks.
Really?
Like, I mean, because all of the fancy studio crap that Mutt Lang did back in the 1980s.
Yeah.
They've now got the technology to do all of it live.
Oh.
And so there was like all this crazy vocal effects stuff. And I get the feeling that on some of the tracks, Joe Elliott was using like an octaver effect on his voice because he can't hit the high notes anymore.
Joe can't hit those high notes anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
REO
was good. Like I was expecting REO to be good, and they were good, considering I think they were the oldest band up there. Because, I mean, they started back in like 69, 70.
Yeah, and Tesla was like late 80s, early 90s. Because I admit I do own some albums by them.
I don't even know Tesla. Like, you lost me on Tesla.
They were like, they came in at the very end of the hair metal.
Yeah.
I must have stopped paying attention by that time.
And their biggest song was a hair metal cover of Signs by the Five Man Electrical Band.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And it was not good.
I totally missed them then.
And it was not good.
Yeah, that was definitely their most famous song. It wasn't their only one. They had some other good tunes, too, but that's definitely one everybody knows.
Well, I didn't hear another good one. I just heard it.
Oh.
No, you know what? Here's the thing.
I am the beholder.
I'm not saying their performance was bad.
Yeah.
I just didn't recognize the thing. And it was just like, okay, well, whatever, it's Tesla. So there you go, folks. That's what we've been doing while we're away.
There's our concert review.
Yeah, our concert review
portion of the podcast.
Well, probably since last time we recorded, too, I also went to see the week before. See, because like, it's been chock full of bands. I saw Dave Mason, followed by the Doobie Brothers, followed by Journey.
Oh, wow, Anthony.
Yes.
You get around.
Well, they were all in Toronto at the same venue, so I mean...
Metaphorically,
the only band he missed was Guns N' Roses.
Well, and they were playing the same night.
Yeah,
they were playing the same night as Def Leppard. So.
Yeah,
given a choice between the two, even though I was underimpressed by Def Leppard, I would have rather seen Def Leppard.
I have no desire.
Yes, love bleeds. Anyway, folks, aren't you glad you came back? It's the middle of summer. We don't have tons of Canadian television news, but that's never stopped us before.
No.
But before we get there, I believe it's time for the beverage update. And we've had many weeks to prepare for this. So, Diane, I'm hoping that there's at least 16 drinks in front of you.
Well, I didn't go for quantity. I went for quality. Because that's more important, of course. Uh-huh. So I have, well, and by quality, I have my favorite, which is the caramel vodka with ginger ale in it. That's this one. I have a cranberry.
Like, that's this one as she shakes effect. Ice.
I have a grape sparkling water, which is that one. I kind of spun the top a little bit too much on that one. And then I can't make a sound effect for this one. It's the cranberry cream rooibos, which the only sound effect I could make really is to spill it all over my microphone.
And that's this one.
That's kind of my favorites, my old favorites.
Well, there you go. Greg, can you outdo that?
No, I can't. All I have tonight is a Canada Dry. I considered having a cider. I also considered having a beer. And then I thought, no, I'll just go with the Canada Dry. So that's all I have. I don't even have water through the Brita filter tonight. So I'm the loser.
Isn't anyone sending free stuff to you anymore?
Oh, yeah. I still have half a case of the cider.
Oh, see. Half, well, there you case. Go.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. No one's sending, you no one sending start, me free
start
stuff.
To, start to mention things that you really, really want to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did mention the last time when Anthony and I recorded, I mentioned the spiked root beer. So they've got now all the different companies have got this root beer out with that's been spiked with vodka, which is quite tasty. So I think maybe I'll get that the next time, and then I'll drop some names and hopefully get some cases sent over.
Yes.
What about you, Anthony? What
have when you we got? Tweet it out, we'll have to actually like give them credit for like sponsoring or something.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks to the folks at these places for sponsoring our beverage update.
Right.
Yes. My beverage tonight, as you could guess, is a bourbon from the Willett Distillery in Kentucky, and it is simply called Pure Kentucky. It's Pure Kentucky Small Batch. And the nice thing about I will give this to their website. Underneath the webpage for all of their individual brands, they have press kits. So they actually have like tasting note PDF and a shelf talker PDF, like the stuff that you would actually like post up on the shelf when you were trying to sell it.
Oh, okay.
So so that is where I pulled my my Sam Elliott from tonight. So this is, by the way, from just to give credit where it's due, this is from Paul Picoult's Shelf Talker. Don't know who that is, but I'm giving him credit. So this is a Pure Kentucky Small Batch bourbon. Lovely bronze color, perfect clarity. This high voltage opening aroma is assertive but not aggressive, as it offers intriguing scents of steamed white rice, vinyl, and new leather. Additional time in glass does wonders for this rambunctious bouquet, settling it down into a biscuity cookie batter-like spice giant that's friendly and compelling. Entry is big-hearted and rippling with above average waves, but with a core flavor of caramel corn. Wowie, wowie. Mid palate is all caramel, corn, toffee, maple, butter, and cream sherry as the sweetness meter ascends quickly. Ends unabashedly sweet and candy bar like. Not for everyone due to the heightened sugar level, but yummy to me.
No, not for everybody, because it starts tasting, smelling of vinyl. Vinyl and steamed rice and finishing with a candy bar. Oh, that's quite the plethora.
That's the scent, by the way. It smells like steamed white rice, vinyl, and new leather.
That's quite the journey.
Isn't new leather really just old cow?
and sorry, Anthony, did you say wowie, wowie?
That's written right in the copy, Diane.
Right. I'm not sure that works very well in this voice.
It's written right in the copy. And you know what? You have to respect the script writers, or else they're going to get all pissed off at you and kill you off.
That's right.
I'm saying.
That's true.
So there you go. There's our beverage update for the week. That takes us into the calendar.
Yes.
Whoa.
Love it. Love it.
Can't get it to stop. Oh, there we go.
You can't stop. I don't remember what last time when we recorded. Like, we recorded, but I don't remember how far we went. Like, so last week there wasn't a lot on the July calendar. But I don't remember whether we talked about the fact that it may not be a bad idea to mention that last Wednesday there was like, well, back to last Tuesday even, I think we mentioned up to the season finale of Houdini and Doyle.
We actually ended off with Food's Greatest Hits because that was the ninth. And then perfect. I didn't actually have anything after that listed in the calendar. So the timing ended up being perfect because in between that time, I've got a few more dates.
That's absolutely perfect. So tomorrow night, July the 19th, we have Degrassi Next Class returning, which is like Degrassi's 850th year or something like that.
It feels like it. It's certainly been a long time. It's on Family Channel here in Canada, and it's on Netflix down in the U.S. And of course, I guess it was this time last year, right, Diane, that it was MTV in Canada and Nickelodeon down in the States had announced that they'd pulled the plug and weren't going to have the show anymore. And that led to everybody being upset and the rending of clothing and things like that. And then within, I think it was a week and a half or so, Epitome, the production company, announced that the show was coming back and that they had it. Family Channel had the rights, as did Netflix. So that's great news. We've also got a piece written by Stefan Brogren, who plays Snake. I guess he's Principal Snake or Snake or Vice Principal Snake. I almost said Snape.
As long as you didn't say Vice Chancellor Snake.
He wrote a great piece for the website. It's called "What Does Degrassi Mean to Me? I'm Effin' Snake, Duh." So we thank him for that. It was a great piece.
It's a great
piece. All right, there you go. And didn't I read somewhere that like they're one of the things that they're tackling this season is Black Lives Matter?
Yes. Always timely, Degrassi is. And they're going to be covering that that storyline this season.
So is Drake coming back?
There have been rumors. This is kind of a reunion season for the show. I think it's 500 episodes, actually. I think that's the number off the top of my head. So they've got everybody coming back. Drake's the only one that they say isn't on the show. But that makes me think that they may end up having a surprise appearance by him.
Right. Because they used to call him on his cell phone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you watch Degrassi, Anthony?
I've never watched Degrassi in my life.
That's what I thought.
I've never seen an episode of Degrassi in my entire life.
He just had the song, though.
Yeah.
I did.
Here's
the reason. Degrassi started up. Like, Degrassi started up when? Like 1980?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like around there?
Yep.
And like that was like, so 1980, 81, maybe even 82, whatever it was. I was just old enough that it wasn't appealing to me. Like I would have been probably about 13, 14, and like a show called Degrassi Junior High is coming on. I'm probably not watching that. Like it's probably more appropriate for someone who's 8 or 9 or 10 years old. And so people grew up with it. I think I was probably just a year or two, a bit too old for it. That's all.
Yeah. I'm exactly in the same boat as you. Yep.
Me too. I think we're all pretty much the same age because it was the same thing. It was just a little too young for me. I mean, when it got to be the sort of the older ages, I peeped in now and then, but it still felt like I had missed the train by then.
Yeah. So there you go. It does return on the Family Channel. And we have the season finale of a show that, against all odds, has garnered a lot of critical acclaim. And that is the Baroness Von Sketch Show. The season finale is happening tomorrow night. And I haven't seen an episode yet, but I'm wanting to see more and more of it because everything I'm hearing is that this thing is fantastic.
And there's a lot of skits available online, like if you just want to get a taste of it before you commit to it. But CBC is also really good about putting full episodes online afterwards, so you can go to their website or their app and watch it. I really like this show. I liked it to begin with, but it's really grown on me. The humor, I mean, for one thing, there's just a ton of skits in every episode. So really, if there's a couple of ones that you don't think are really on the mark, there's just going to be another one really quickly anyway. So. And I think, Greg, you and I were both talking about Meredith McNeil being sort of our standout favorite. To me, she's a correspondent on 22 Minutes as well.
Yes.
So she kind of adds something. I mean, they're all fantastic. But yeah, I crack up every time they're on screen. And this is one of the few Canadian shows where I go into work and people are like, did you see this? Did you see this? And it's all, you know, kind of women my age, I guess, but it's not getting great ratings, I don't think, but it's definitely, for me, the kind of show that I would love to see more of.
Yeah, and you know what I like about it is that the skits aren't too long, so even if one doesn't necessarily work or lands with a bit of a thud, you know that it's not going to go on forever like Saturday Night Live does. But consistently I'm laughing out loud at these skits. and the ideas behind it. And yeah, Meredith McNeil is fantastic. Like, her physical comedy is great, but they're all great. And I love the fact, you know, it's a fun show where they're shooting all the stuff on location. So I'm always trying to figure out where they're filming. Just very smartly and very well done. I'm really impressed with it.
As soon as you mentioned, go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, oh dear, I think there's a bit of a lag. You go.
Okay. As soon as Greg, because I was going to mention something completely non-relevant as usual, but as soon as Greg mentioned the Saturday Night Live sketch, that always makes me think of that standard, the Saturday Night Live trope of the idea of that, you know, the first sketch always used to be like 12 minutes long or something like that.
Yeah.
And after the first 2 minutes, it's like, and they parodied it fantastically on The Simpsons that one time when Krusty was on and they had the big ear family. And it was just like, we got 12 more minutes of this crap. Anyway, I was sidebarring.
I was just going to say that some of the skits, like there's one about like a massage and how like they leave you to change when you're getting your massage. And it's this woman does this like mad panic to get unchanged and then under the covers. And I don't know. I was having a massage and I was like, yes, that is it. they just pick up these like things that it's kind of like Seinfeld where you're like, you know, oh yeah, that's a scenario that I can relate to. Anyway, I like it.
Yeah, and so now was it six episodes? I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it's CBC wondering if it comes back, it's going to be part two of season one.
I don't think CBC does that so much.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, and one thing that's not on the calendar for tomorrow night, and I'm now thinking that it might be the season finale, is also of Still Standing, because Still Standing and Baroness both started on the same night, and I think it's only six. It might be eight episodes, but I have a feeling It might be six. And if it is only six, then it'll be finaling tomorrow night on CBC as well. The weird thing about this season of Still Standing is I actually didn't think it was as strong as last season was. The lines, the jokes weren't as sharp as they were last year. And I'm not really sure why, because I think Johnny Harris had the same few guys on the road with him writing the stuff. Now, still, he only had 5 days to write, you know, comedy about a small community. So just the fact that he was able to even write half an hour of new material every week was impressive. I just felt as though maybe it was just the bloom was off the lily a little bit just this season. I think maybe I was just expecting a little bit more, and it didn't fulfill me the way that season one did. But hey.
Wow.
Well, there you go. The only other thing that we have on the calendar is set for next Monday, July the 25th, the return of Intervention Canada. So, you know, if you want to get your intervention fix on, wait a sec. Doesn't that sound redundant? It sounds hyperbolic, doesn't it? I don't know. Your intervention fix. Anyway, it returns on the Doc Channel.
Yeah, and this is different from, I'm trying to remember, it was on another network, and I don't know if it was City or if it was one of
History Channel?
No, it wasn't History. It wasn't History Channel.
Travel anyway, and Escape?
Maybe.
Book TV?
Just go ahead. Just keep yelling out. Just keep yelling them out. Anyway, I can't remember. But now it's on CBC's documentary channel. Monday, July the 25th, like you said, CBC has the exclusive rights to air the first five episodes. And then the air dates of the final five are still to be confirmed. So I don't know if you guys have seen the show, but addicts and their families from coast to coast to coast share their stories and shine a light on the issue of addiction. So alcohol, crystal meth, cocaine, eating disorders.
I think I've only seen the American one, and I think it's a horrible, horrible show, and I'm kind of not happy that it's still on.
Really?
Well, if you're a fan,
I think, how can these people possibly be giving informed consent to exposing themselves like that? I don't know. And the one I saw, I mean, to be fair, the one I saw, I don't know if it's representative, but it was, you know, basically woman's family was enabling her by, you know, having alcohol in the house. And then it's like, I don't know, doing an intervention and, oh yes, maybe we should get that. Like, I just thought, oh, come on. I don't need a TV show to show me that.
Yeah.
I also just felt like the poor woman, like, I felt like, Yeah, I'm not sure that she was in any state to be giving informed consent to appearing on the show.
Well, if you're a fan of the Schadenfreude, then I'm sure you're watching this with all of your beloved intent. This is one of those shows where, like, you know, if something is uncomfortable to watch, I don't know why I watch it. I watch, like, I'm not saying that you should never watch that, but if I'm watching TV in terms of like a half hour or hour long thing, it's usually as entertainment. And even though this is on the Doc Channel, is this formerly Bold, by the way? Is the Doc Channel what Bold used to be?
Oh. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I know stuff about Arcane Channel.
I don't think it's Schadenfreude so much as I think people actually genuinely think they're, you know, seeing somebody be helped. I think there's genuinely that interest in it. But I don't think people watch it to say, like, ha-ha, you know, I'm better than them. But I feel like it's voyeurism in the worst way. It's not like people doing stupid things to get on TV. It's, I don't know, to me it's just a little... I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know. Something that I'm not going to watch.
I feel like I have
neither the first nor second five episodes, to be honest with you.
I feel like I have this hierarchy of my loathing for certain reality genres, though, and this one is probably even beats out The Bachelor and Bachelorette for me, and that's saying a lot.
There we go. It is time to close the calendar.
It is.
Greg, uh-huh. Greg, where's your noise?
So I know that this next story is near and dear to Greg's heart.
Can I first ask, are we doing the calendar in Morse code? Is that what that
is? Yeah, that's the Morse code.
Yes.
I couldn't find anything else.
If you knew Morse code, that you would know that actually spells out calendar when he plays it.
Yes.
Like anyone's gonna check.
Yeah, there you go. So this next story is very close to Greg's heart. In fact, it may be close to being his Valentine.
Oh, boo! No.
But apparently, this is an attempt to right the wrongs of some hullabaloo.
Well, as I wrote in my lead today, Roger's loss is Corus's gain. Jennifer Valentine, you know, anybody here in Ontario that watches.
Wait, hang on for a second. Now, okay. Couldn't you have put Corus asked Jennifer to be their Valentine?
I guess I could have.
He could have.
Do you want me to rewrite it, Anthony? I can get you to help.
I don't think he should have, but he could have.
You know you want to.
I might have to change it. I'll think about it. Anyway, back in April, Jennifer Valentine was let go from City's Breakfast Television. And there was a heck of a hullabaloo over that. We're still getting page views from that original story. But like I said, Corus is gain now because Jennifer Valentine has been hired on to host W Network's The Bachelorette Canada After Show, working title. So, the Bachelorette Canada debuts on September the 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on the W Network. And then after that, Jennifer Valentine is going to be hosting the After Show, working title. A half an hour live chat at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And they're going to have previous bachelors and bachelorettes on the show. They're going to have super fans come in and weigh in on the drama that's happened over the past episode. Oh, it's going to be a love-in, guys.
This is like my nightmare show. Man, because there wasn't enough stupidity on The Bachelorette to begin with.
I can't wait for myself and Robert Carnell to weigh in weekly. Yes. And ask what you think about it.
I was going to say, yeah, tag me on it, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to involve you in it.
Here's the thing. I'm wondering if I would actually enjoy the After Show, working title, better than The Bachelorette Canada.
there is something to be said for that. It is going to be live to a certain extent, not live out in the West Coast, but certainly live here in the East Coast. So you never know what's going to happen, right? Oh, did I mention that Jasmine Lorimer is Canada's first ever bachelorette and she's seeking a soulmate from a passel of 20 male suitors?
Wow.
And the Carnival Eats host Noah Kapp is going to host the show.
Well, there you go. I can see the natural tie. Corn dogs and horn dogs? I don't know.
Oh, I think so. I think we have an episode title.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was I was pretty impressed with myself on that one there.
I'm going to change my lead. Corn dogs and horn dogs.
Wow. We come up with the best titles. Anyway, yeah. There you go. I don't know how gripping that is, but some fans of Jennifer Valentine will hopefully be able to find her there. If you own more than the Skinny Basic package, you'll be able to get the W Network.
Good point.
Yeah, just saying. Also, Global's original drama "Mary Kills People" is about to start production, and this is E1 and Cameron Pictures getting together. And that's it.
And that's what we got. Yeah, that's the one we talked about this show a while ago, and we were debating tone because it's hard to tell what the tone is from the press release. And Tassie Cameron piped up and said that it is sort of tongue in cheek, and you know, it's not meant to be serious.
So, I mean, it's starring Carolyn Davernas, who I remember from way back.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderfalls, exactly.
Yeah. Wonderfalls. She's most recently was on Hannibal. She was great in Hannibal.
Yeah.
Tassie Cameron's company is involved. I'm looking in the who wrote it? I can't remember what her name is, the showrunner.
Yeah, she was not highly known, and that's where we were talking about how Tassie Cameron is sort of the experienced one who might guide the show sort of, but I can't remember her name either.
This is awful, and I can't find it in the press information here either.
Oh. We're not talking about the creator, are we?
Yeah,
we are.
The creator.
Okay.
I'm trying to
look. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to look. Maybe, Diane, you can look that up while I go through the cast, because there's a lot to like here in this cast. Greg Brick from Bitten has signed on. He is going to play Grady.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Tara Armstrong. I just got excited.
That's it. Thank you. So Greg Brick from Bitten is going to play Mary's drug supplier, Grady. And fans of Rookie Blue, Charlotte Sullivan is going to be in this show, and she's going to be playing Nicole, Mary's concerned sister. And it is going to be six 1-hour dramas, drama episodes, shooting in and around Toronto through the summer, and going to be on Global in early 2017. And apparently I'm going on a set visit soon, so I'm pretty excited about that.
I wonder if Grady is intentionally a shout out to Sanford and Sons. Blum, Grady.
Blum, blum, blum. I hope so.
Wow.
I don't know. All that I know is one of the characters. It is. Well, one of the characters' names is Richard Short, which literally would be Dick Short. That's all I'm saying.
See, now we would have known.
Actually,
that it was meant
sorry, Richard. Richard sorry, Richard Short is the actor. My bad. So he has joined as Dez.
Yes.
So we just mock somebody's real name. Great.
You know, but you know what? I mean, compared
like the first
to
time
the old.
He's heard it.
No, it's not the first time he's heard it. But beyond that, compared to Canadian Olympic organizer, IOC member Dick Pound,
right?
You know what?
That's my favorite. That never gets old.
It never gets old. I'm just saying.
Also, Lyric Bent. I saw his name in here and neglected to say his name. Lyric Bent from Book of Negroes is going to play Frank. So this is a really deep cast, and I'm really excited to see this show when it comes out.
Great cast. Yeah. I'm actually really looking forward to this now.
Yeah.
So there you go. Mary Kills People. That's Mary as in the name Mary, not Merrily Kills People or anything like that. So
right.
That would be a kind of different show, I think. Well, maybe not.
Who would?
I don't know. And our last story coming up this week, like I said, folks, it's been some thin times this summer. HGTV Canada has greenlit two new original series. One of them is called Save My Reno, or as I like to think of it, Save My Reno, a show about going into Reno, Nevada and finding out how to save it.
Hey, there was that American comedy show called Reno 911, I think it was called, and yes. I thought it was Reno 911. Anyway, Sebastian Clovis, who was on Home to Win, and he had his own DIY show, I guess it was a year or so ago. He has he's partnered with budget-savvy DIY designer Sabrina Smelko in Save My Reno, and it says that the energetic and imaginative pair help cash-strapped homeowners transform their struggling spaces into spectacular reveals with savings to spare. So that's the first show. And then the second one is called Backyard Builds. Guess what that one's about?
Let me guess. They build stuff in their backyards.
Exactly. One-of-a-kind designs. Brian McCourt and the designer Sarah Keenlyside are going to produce one-of-a-kind designs in ordinary backyard spaces. So both of those shows are actually looking for people to participate. So if you go to hgtv.ca/casting call, you can find out how to get involved in that one. They're going to start filming in the GTA in August, and both shows are going to be on in spring 2017.
Okay, I've got. Can I do a short little episode of copy criticism here?
Yes. Okay, I didn't write it. Go ahead.
That's fine. So it goes, whether it's a yoga studio, recording facility, whimsical jungle gym, tiki bar, bowling alley, and then it keeps going on. The jungle gym is the only thing that goes in the backyard. The rest, you call the jungle gym whimsical? The yoga studio, recording facility, tiki bar, or bowling alley don't go in a backyard.
Wow, and you check the spacing where it says, or an al fresco dining area.
That was my second one. I was going to that where it was like, or anal fresco.
Oh, no.
And I looked at that at first and I went, something's wrong there.
I need to put in an extra space, I think.
Yes. It's anal fresco dining area. But like I'm saying, like out of all those things that they list on that sentence there, the only one that's not whimsical for a backyard is a jungle gym.
That's yes. Yes, that's true. And just just a side note, and this is going like deep cuts for people that that care about this stuff. Backyard Builds is produced by Frantic Films. Frantic are the same folks that do Still Standing and Baroness von Sketch. So if you're keeping track at home, that's three shows by Frantic. They're going to be on the air.
You've checked off your Frantic Films bingo card now.
There you go. Yes. I know. Sorry.
Wow. How else are you going to make an article about two new greenlit HGTV shows that we won't be seeing for a year? Exciting.
I don't know how. I don't think we're there yet.
So there you go. It basically sounds like it's like, hey, what wacky thing can we put in your backyard? And then they just figure out how to do it.
Yes.
I'm surprised that they don't have like miniature golf course.
That would be really cool. Oh, whimsical spelled wrong.
Well, no, not if you're talking about the brand name Whimsical, which is the frozen treat that you get in the summer.
I gotta fix that.
Enjoy this summer's frozen treat, the Whimsical.
Oh, the Whimsical.
Oh dear, gosh. Anyway, it's premiering in spring 2017. Mark your calendars, folks. That's all I can say. That brings us to the end of all of the stuff we have to talk about. Even though it's been a few weeks, it's like I say, not a lot of stories coming out. I'm hoping that in August stuff will start rolling in, Greg, but I'm looking at the August calendar and of course not a lot is starting then. So I would, you know, you have to probably go forward to September and October before all the calendar laden stuff starts.
Yeah, we still haven't got, we don't have CBC's fall schedule yet. They've been traditionally like the last week of August going into September, but until we get those schedules, it's pretty light right now.
So there you go, folks. If you've got something you'd like us to talk about, let us know.
Actually, there's one more thing I'll just throw in before we shut it down, and that's just about Kim's Convenience. They're in production. Oh, yeah. That's the CBC show. The casting is all done for that, and they've started filming. So really looking forward to that. And actually, that's the show that topped our poll. I put up a poll asking people which new fall series they were the most excited about, and Kim's Convenience was number one on that, and a lot of people have left comments saying that they're really excited about it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, me too. That one has the benefit of having a built-in audience, because people who saw the theater play would have, you know, wanted to see it as well.
Yeah, and it toured across the country, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I get the feeling it's going to be like, it's going to be the closest thing that we've had to the King of Kensington in a while.
Oh, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what? I think it's going to be, even though it's, you know, we're talking about a total culture jump, it's about, you know, depending on how it's done, depending on how it's set, if they set it in kind of like a very, you know, long act scenario, it could very much look like the King of Kensington. That's all.
I think that's totally fair. Yeah.
And then they could walk down the street and smile at everyone.
Yes.
There you go. Al Waxman. May he rest in peace.
you're not sure he's dead, are you?
Yeah, he is dead. Okay. I know that.
That sounded like you.
Oh, I know.
It sounded like you were like not entirely sure.
No, I know Al Waxman's dead. I hope he is now. Anyway, nice. When you're running with it, when you're committing to it, you hope you're right. Anyway, folks, you've been listening to the TVA podcast, episode number 208. Like I said, in the comments to this, if you got stuff to suggest that you'd like us to talk about, we can do that. Just recommend it, and we'll talk about it. That's how. That's if you have questions, send us questions.
Yeah, about Canadian TV though.
Yeah, well, Canadian TV or Canadian related TV.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, maybe there's someone who was on a Canadian show who went to a U.S. show and they want to ask something about that. That's okay.
Yeah, but I don't know when the season premiere of Graceland is going to be.
No. I'm not talking about like a simple question like that. Like, if people want us to extemporaneously wax intelligentsia about the state of television.
Wow.
You like that?
I got to look it up. Hold on.
We used to do that kind of thing, and now we talk about
I know.
TV shows.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? You used to take questions from the audience?
Well, that's we used to wax philosophical about stuff.
Yeah. But then... Okay. But then that was during a lot of the time they were talking about copyright reform and changes to the CRTC, and we haven't seen a lot of that lately either.
Well, the CRTC is going through their thing.
Yep. Good old JP Blais.
Yeah.
Anyway, Diane, why don't you tell people where they can find you when you're not here drinking some beverages and recording the podcast once every few weeks?
Well, for the next 6 weeks especially, I will be reporting – well, not reporting. I'll be – I'll be rambling occasionally on my Twitter account, DEEKAYW, about my adventures in Brazil. So follow me there.
So I didn't know that you made the swimming team, Diane.
Oh, yeah, well, yes. I'm going to swim with all the body parts that are washing up.
Wow. Wow. It's the 500-meter body part slalom.
Sorry, we were talking before we were recording about the body parts that washed up. That was actually volleyball, though. The volleyball venue. Yes. So Greg will pretty much be alone on the TV channels, but so I will leave it to you. Where can you be found, Greg?
I can be found manning the shop here at the TVA website, tv-eh.com, the Twitter account, which is @TV_EH. On my own Twitter account, which is Greg_David. And we've also got Instagram for TVA, and that is TVEH.com1486. Hey, they just gave me that, and I just said...
Oh, really?
No, they just randomly suggested it. I'm like, yeah, okay. And that's where I can be found.
You can pick your own name, you know?
Yeah, I might go in and change that, but right now that's where we're at. What about you, Anthony?
You can find all of my other podcasts at anthonymarco.com. Find me on Twitter at Anthony Marco. And I hear next week there may be a TV ABCs, Greg.
Oh, yes. I spoke to Tamsin McDonough, who does the voice of Lucy the Spaceship on Killjoys. So we talked about that. We also talked about the other voice work that she's done, some of her past work in television. And so we'll have that up next week.
Sounds good.
That's awesome. I bet it'll be a really good sounding podcast too.
Funny you should say that. I did it. We did it in a restaurant, so there's a lot of background noise.
But her voice.
Ironically.
It's okay. We'll do some fancy post-production to it. And
okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll figure out something. Anyway, folks, that wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.